Well, it looks like everyone, we got a few back from the holidays, and that's great. Good to see everyone here tonight. We're glad to be together tonight to study from God's Word. We're going to be studying from the book of Numbers and continuing that study. The book of Numbers is a book of the organization of God's people in the Old Testament. It's also the book of the travels from the land of bondage to the land of Canaan. The reason why we want to study this book is because the Bible says these were our examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 through 11. Also, the Bible says that the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning. And so we want to learn. And we're learning from the book of Numbers. And of course, Israel is a type of the church. And we learn that they were numbered. All the men who were able to go to war were numbered. There were 603,550 that had left the land of Egypt. They were able to go to war. They were able to go to physical war. They were able to go fight against the idolatrous nation. Now, God's people today, we are soldiers also. We're to put on the whole armor of God. So there's the similarity between us and them. Now, we're not fighting with carnal weapons. We're fighting with spiritual weapons, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And the weapons of our warfare are spiritual and not carnal. And we have a spiritual enemy, and that's Satan. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Our wrestling, our battle, our combat is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of wickedness and spiritual hosts of wickedness that we're up against. So they had a physical army. Now, we're going to read tonight about their Levites. They had a priestly tribe. Now, we're priests too. We are a nation. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're a holy nation. But we're also a royal priesthood. So, as we study about these people, a nation, Moses was their deliverer. Moses was their leader. Christ is our leader. They had an army. We have an army. They had priests, and the priests were in charge of the worship of God. And God had it all organized. Everything was just the way He wanted it to be. And one of the words that we're seeing in this book is the word separate. And so they were to separate themselves. And that's, of course, what we're supposed to do. We're to be a separate people. That's what church means. It means called out. Get out of the world. Separate yourself from the world. At 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, what fellowship has Christ with Belial? Christ has no fellowship with Satan. What fellowship has light with darkness? We're to be children of light. And so He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And so we're to be a separate people. That's the benefit of studying the book of Numbers, is we learn more about what God wants us to be. Now tonight we're in Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. Now this is about the Levites. The Levites were priests. They were the tribe of Levi. They were not to go to war. They were priests. The other tribes went to war. And so we're kind of a combination. We're a combination of the soldier priest. But our dealings is our worship is spiritual worship. Theirs was a physical worship. They had animal sacrifices, as we're about to see. So that kind of sets up our study tonight. We're studying about them because we learn principles of what God's wanting for us. What does God want for us? He wants a separate people. He wants people who are soldiers. They battle. They fight. He wants a people who are dedicated to worship. That's what the Levites were to do. They were dedicated to take care of that tabernacle and the function of the tabernacle and the operation of the tabernacle. Of course, the tabernacle is a type of church. And so you had the holy place. That's where we are. We're in the holy place. Then they had the Holy of Holies. That's heaven. And when Christ died, that veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And so for the church, the Holy of Holies is opened up. And we have total access to heaven. We're to come boldly before the throne of grace. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so we can come to the Lord for help. And so these things match up. These things are there for a reason. These things are there to teach us and for us to learn. Now in chapter 8, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," and that God is in complete control. God directs everything. And that's the way He should be with us. He has the right to direct everything. He has the position to direct everything. He's created everything. He's the creator, we're the created. He's the master, we're the servants. Whatever the master says, the servant does. That's the whole idea and the concept in the Bible. We're not in charge. We've never been in charge. We will never, never be in charge. God's in charge. And God's in complete charge. And so, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Lord, what do you want us to do?" Well, here it is. "Speak unto Aaron and say unto him, when thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick." And guess what? When God said do that, the Lord said light those lamps. And Aaron did so. That's the way man should be. When God speaks, man complies. Man submits. Man obeys. That's the purpose of this book. And so why are we here? Why do we have a Bible open? Because God said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." God said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's why we're here, is because we have a duty, we have an obligation to study to know the Word of God so that we can live in such a way as to be pleasing to Him. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick. Watch this. "As the Lord commanded Moses." And so when God says something, man's duty, his whole duty, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And we need to drill that into our heads. We're not here left with options. Well, you can do this if you want to. You can light those candles if you want to. You can do this if you want to. No, when God commands, it's not an option. It's something we're obligated to do. "And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold." That's what God had said. "Under the shaft thereof, under the flowers thereof, was beaten work according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses, so he made the candlestick." And so everything was told what to do. Make it out of gold. Make it of beaten work. Make those flowers designed there. Make it with seven candles. So forth. God gave the instructions, and man did what God said to do. God tells us to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what we do. We don't question the Lord. We just do what He says. I like singing. I don't even want to question that, do you? It's a wonderful thing to do that. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," there it is again. And so God continues to speak and give instructions and give directions. Doesn't the Bible say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? It's, what does that mean? The Lord is my shepherd. Well, the shepherd tells us where to go. The shepherd directs our steps. If he goes up on the mountain, we go up on the mountain. If he goes down the valley, we go down the valley. If he goes out to the pasture, we go out to the pasture. And so when he speaks, we obey. "Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them." This book is a book about being clean. This book is about being holy. That's what baptism is about. That's what walking in the light as He is in the light. That's what that's about. That's about holiness and purity and cleansing. And so there's much in the Bible about cleansing and purifying and making things being not corrupted, you know, staying out of corruption and immorality. Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them, and thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Here's how you cleanse them. This is what God says to do. Sprinkle water of the purifying upon them. They had no option. They couldn't sprinkle milk of the purifying. They couldn't sprinkle orange juice of the purifying. They had to sprinkle them with the water of purifying upon them. When God says that we're to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, there's no other options. There's nothing else that we can do. We have to do that. Why do y'all baptize? Why do y'all baptize in water? Well, that's what God said. We have no options. There's not another thing to do. There's not other things that we can dream up or design. Sprinkle water the purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. That's what God said. Shave themselves, wash their clothes. And so this is the Old Testament. We're living under the New Testament. This law was contrary to us. Colossians 2 and verse 14. But unto them, it's teaching us, and let them take a young bullock and his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. Now even the Levites, even the priests had to have a sin offering. They were sinners. They had committed sin. So they needed to have offerings made for their sin. You know, our high priest is different. He didn't have to have an offering for his sin because he had no sin. But all of the priests of the earth, all the priests of men, all the priests from the tribe of Levi, they had to. That shows the difference between the priest of the Levites and the high priest of Jesus Christ, who was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He was different. He didn't need a sin offering, but they did. We do. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And so this is at Mount Sinai. They are now instituting what God has designed. They're instituting it. They've made the tabernacle. They've erected the tabernacle. They've put it up. You can see it there at the end of the book of Exodus and Leviticus. They put that tabernacle up. They're getting this whole thing underway. They've got the instructions, and now they're implementing it as God had said. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. Why would they have to put their hands upon the Levites? Because God said to. Because God told them to. And so they were to put their hands upon them. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. What was the duties of the priest? To execute the duties of the Lord. What's the duties of the priest today? Why do we assemble and worship God and partake of the Lord's Supper? Why do we do that? To execute the duties of the Lord. And this is what God has designed, and this is what we do, and we do it gladly. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord. These are offerings unto the Lord to make an atonement for the Levites, because the Levites had sin and they were to offer an atonement for them. And so this is all about the Levites in this chapter right here. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. And so Levites were to be dedicated to God. They were a special tribe in the nation of Israel. Thus shalt thou, here's this word, thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel. And the Levites shall be mine. Now we belong to the Lord. You know that we were mentioning a passage a moment ago, and I probably need to say it a little bit more. In that 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18, the Lord says, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. We're to come out from among the people of this world, and we're to be separate. And he says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. And you shall be unto me sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And so we belong to him. You don't belong to you. Sometimes we get the idea, oh, I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you don't belong to you. The Levites didn't belong to themselves. They belong to God. We belong to God. We're the servants of God. He's the master. We're the servants. He's the king, and we're the subject of his kingdom. And we don't belong to ourselves. We have to follow his instructions. And so they were to be separate. They belong to the Lord. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. So cleansing and purifying is a very important element here. It was important then, and it's important now. For they are wholly given unto me, wholly, completely, entirely. They belong to me every bit, God says. And that's the way that we are. We belong to the Lord, every bit of us. You know, we have to let the Lord, you know, what is that verse over there in Galatians 2 and 20? It says, I'm crucified with Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean, I'm crucified with Christ? I'm dead. Who, me? I'm dead. But that verse goes on to say, nevertheless I live. But it's no longer I that liveth, it's Christ living in me. And so we belong to the Lord. We have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to think like he thinks by doing what he says to do. We belong to the Lord. They're wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. Now the firstborn, that's been really important through the Bible as well. The firstborn is what died. It's the people that died in Egypt, wasn't it? The firstborn of the cattle, the firstborn of the slaves, the firstborn of Pharaoh's house. You know, the firstborn. You ever heard of the first fruits? First fruits, firstborn, they belong to God. First fruits belong to God. Firstborn belongs to God. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And now what he's saying is, I'm taking Levi. Levi's going to be mine. Levi is mine, and they're representing the firstborn of all of Israel. I'm taking them as the firstborn. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. Verse 18. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation. And to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. So God has a design. God has a plan. God's wise. You know, let's convince ourselves of the wisdom of God. God made the little Adam. You can't even see it with your eye. But the Adams are all. The Adams make that wood. The Adams make up everything. God used invisible things to make the things that are seen. God's wisdom is great. God made the great oceans with all the creatures in there, the big, huge creatures. He's wise. God made the mountains, the streams, the grass, the ferns, the leaves, the beautiful flowers. He made everything. He made the bird to make the nest. You know, that's amazing that those birds can make those nests, and storms can come and everything. Those little nests will just hold those little eggs. Those little nests can endure the storms and the rains and the future winds of the spring. And yet God made them make those little nests so firm and yet so soft and so perfect. And all the birds have the different kind of nests. God is wise. God knows what He's doing. When God talks about purity and God talks about this being mine and this being this way and that lampstand being that way and this sacrifice being that way, God knows exactly what He's doing. Let's appreciate. Let's get back and appreciate the great wisdom of God and the design of God. We all love a little baby. God designed those little babies. When a little baby smiles at you, there's no way you can't smile back at that baby. They're made to smile at you so you can smile back at them. Made to make you happy. God has a design. The design is good. The design is precious. The design is wonderful. There's nothing cuter on a green pasture in the spring than little lambs, little newborn lambs frolicking, kicking at one another, bouncing around. That's God's wisdom, God's beauty, God's marvelous creation. Let's appreciate everything He's done. This book is a marvel. This book is wonderful. And when He says, you separate yourself, you cleanse yourself, the first fruits are mine, the firstborn are mine. Appreciate that. There's something there. There's value there. There's something good for us and helpful to us in understanding His will. And when He says sing and make melody in your heart, I mean sing like you mean it. Because it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. And when He says pray, pray an earnest and fervent prayer. Because the Bible says it has great effectual. It's effectual. And we pray earnestly and fervently. So there's beauty in all of these. And so when the Lord says, and Moses and Aaron and all the congregation, in verse 20, of the congregation of the children of Israel, did to the Levites. What did they do to the Levites? Verse 20. They did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So did the children of Israel unto them. They did it all. Whatever God said, they did it. Just the way God said it. Just for the reason God said it. They did it. We need to resign ourselves to that. We need to resign ourselves. Look at that. Look at that. That right there is a type and a shadow of us. What did they do back then? They did everything that God said. They didn't add anything to it. They didn't take anything away from it. So, sir? I don't know every heart. I know the Bible says they were stiff-necked. What does that mean, stiff-necked? Stubborn. These people could be awful stubborn. I'm glad right now they're not being stubborn. I'm glad right now they're being very compliant. That's what we want to be. Most of the Old Testament, they're not compliant. Most of the Old Testament. God's having to send prophets. God's having to scold them. God's having to rebuke them. God's having to threaten them. Threaten them. Well, my kids were little. I said, boy, they're just going to remember their daddy saying, no, stop, quit, get down, sit down, be quiet. That's all they're going to remember their daddy doing. But that's the way youth is, and that's the way Israel was. Israel had to have a lot of negatives. Reprove, negative. Rebuke, negative. Exhort, positive. There's two negative things for the one positive thing. So Daddy would say, get down, stop, quit, y'all behave, stop that. And then when they would do something good, Daddy would say, you did good there. I'm proud of you. You did something really good. Now that made your dad happy. So we can be negative to our children, and we can be positive to our children. That's why a child has a mama and a daddy. That's why the mother is different than the daddy. When the little child falls down, the mama says, oh, let me kiss it, honey. Come here, honey. Let your mama hug you. But the daddy says, get up, son. Get up. You okay? Get up. Get yourself up. Dust yourself off. The child needs both of those. The child needs both. That's why they have a mama and they have a daddy. Yeah, good cop, bad cop. Sweetness. Sweetness. Or somebody wrote a book. I can't remember the name of the man that wrote the book, but he wrote this book, and it says, Man of Steel and Velvet. Steel and velvet. Man needs to be steel. No, I said no, and I mean no, and if you don't stop that, I'm going to wear you out. That's the steel. But he needs to be velvet. Adolf Hitler was steel without any velvet. He had no velvet. He knew no velvet. He had no softness. His heart was hard as it could be. And so we need to be hard and we need to be soft. And that's what Christ was. Somebody here.
Interesting is all of his qualifications, they had to do that before they could enter into the service of the Lord. That's
right.
Thing. All men are commanded to worship. All men are commanded to take the Lord's Supper. You know, all of those things. But unless we obey and become Christians by obeying the gospel, we can do that all day long, but it's not accepted by the Lord.
Mm-hmm. We need to have obedience. And really, the book of Numbers is really strong on that. Any other comments? All right. Now, in our text, let's read verse 21. And the Levites were purified. They responded to God's word positively. And they washed their clothes. And Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service. They had to be cleansed first. And then they went in to do the service. You know, I don't have a drawing or an outline of the tabernacle right now. But maybe you remember it. You had that petition. I'll draw a square, a visible square here. You had the petition. Then you had the tabernacle right there in the middle of that partition. And then right in front of the door of the tabernacle, there was a laver. It held water. And the priest had to wash and get themselves clean before they could go inside of the tabernacle, which represents the church. And so we have baptism. You don't go into the church. You don't become a member of the church and then be baptized as one denomination has it. We're going to vote you into the church and then we're going to baptize you in the church. No, you don't go in the tabernacle to wash. You wash to go in. We're baptized to be added to the church. That's why that laver sat where it sat. It sat on the outside of the door of the tabernacle. The priest washed, and then they went inside. They didn't go inside and wash, and neither can people do that today. You can't join the church and then be baptized later. That's not the design. And so you see how important this book of Numbers is. The book of Leviticus is important. It teaches us important matters. And they were in the church of Corinth. They were taking of it unworthily, and that's what he was trying to correct there. Yes, sir.
The book of Numbers is one place to kind of go in. We know some congregations who the elders wrongfully will go through on a yearly basis and pick children to be baptized. Pretty much forced
Well, that's when they started serving in the temple, was 25. And by the way, I think we're about to read that pretty soon here, just a few verses down. Let's look at verse 22 now. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. Now, verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. 25 years old and upward. Well, what if they're 24 years old? What if they're 23 years old? 25 years old and upward, not downward, not 25 years old and downward. If they're 23 or 24, they're downward. They're not upward. And so God says things in a way that we should understand that you're not going to get confused about it. And so it's 25 years old. If they're 26, yes. 27, yes. That's 25 and upward. Not 25 and downward. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof and shall no more. One for 51 years old. Well, that's not that big a deal. 50. No more. No more. And so we really want to understand that when God specifies a thing, that's the way it is. And we need to appreciate the wisdom of God. Yeah, but he's just 51. He's just 23. It doesn't make that. No, God, when God said that, that's what he meant. Leave it alone. Don't give a hypothetical. Well, what if you're out in the middle of the desert and there isn't any water there to baptize somebody and they died right there on that spot and you couldn't baptize them? You can't take baptism away. You can come up with the desert. You can come up with they were trying to make it to the church. What about trying to make it to the church building? Why don't they ever say that? Oh, they were driving on their way to the church building. They were going to the creek. They were driving to the lake. They never say that. They're out in the middle of the desert and they died before they could get to water. Well, God's not that mean, by the way. God's never said, oh, I'll kill somebody when they're going to obey me. I'll just kill them on the spot. He never said that. God's always let people obey. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation in chapter 2, there's a wicked woman there called Jezebel that was teaching God's people to commit fornication. And the Lord said this. You know what the Lord said about that wicked woman? I gave her space to repent. What does that mean? I gave her time to repent. Yeah, but that old woman, she's a sinner. She's a terrible person. The goodness of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, that 2 Peter 3 and 9. God's not slack concerning his promises. Some men can't slack, but long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, even that old Jezebel woman. Not willing that. So here's a guy that's repented. He wants to be baptized. And you mean God's going to strike him down dead and not allow him? Get rid of that old mean hypothetical story that you're telling. That don't even represent God. Get that out of here. Why would you even say something like that? He's out in the middle of the desert. He couldn't be baptized. He died. Don't do that. Don't do that to God. Don't make God look like a bad guy. He's not. And so, that's the age. 25 and upward. 50 years. No more. No more. But shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge. To keep the charge. We have charges in the Bible. And when we're charged to do something, we better get it done. And shall do no service Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. What a wonderful chapter, chapter 8. It really directly relates to us because we're priests and God has specifics here and details here for those people back then. And He has specifics for us today as well. Any comments about chapter 8? Yes, ma'am. Seems to be for the total, it seems.
Well, then, you were talking about
I'm not sure about that question, but this is right at the very beginning, and I, this is all I know. At the very beginning, it seems to me that they were doing it for the Levites there at the very beginning. It may be in a situation, you may be right, it may be every time some became of age, you know, you had some turn 50, they had to be excluded from the work, and then you had some turning 25, maybe they did that, maybe they took them in, and some numbers like that. I just don't know the answer on that right off. Now, the next chapter covers the Passover. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, so that's where they are, they're in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. So this is the time frame. They're in their second year of being freed from the land of Egypt. So they haven't been out very long. They're being organized now. They're being given their orders and they're being given their duties and their charges. And God is organizing them. Now, we're an organized people. God is an organized God. Everything that He has designed is organized. The universe is organized. The animal kingdom is organized. The plant kingdom is organized. Everything's organized in the sense of organization. Planets are in their order. Animals are in their order. They don't get out of their order. Cows eat grass. Cows don't eat squirrels. Cows eat grass. You know, God's got that organized. You know, cows stop eating grass, start eating squirrels or something. You know, that's not organized. That's not the organization God wants. And so God is organizing everything. Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at His appointed season. Now, it didn't change. They were to keep it in the wilderness wandering just as they kept it in the land of Egypt. Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at His appointed season. Here's the appointed season. In the 14th day of this month. Well, what month was it? Well, it was the first month. Verse 1. In the first month of the second year. So it was the 14th day of the first month. At even, in the evening. You know, Jesus died as the evening was coming on. Jesus died. He died at the time the Passover was being slain. You shall keep it in His appointed season according to all the rites of it. According to all the ceremonies thereof shall you keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. Now Jesus comes along 1,500 years later. And you know what? Jesus kept it exactly the same way. Jesus didn't say, oh, we're getting tired of the same old routine, same thing. It's getting boring, boring. That's how people change things today. They say, oh, well, let's try something new. Let's try something different. Well, Christ didn't try something different. He did it the same way as they did it back in the very beginning. Our time is up, and I'm going to stop right there. But look at verse 5. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. So let these phrases, you know, just be embedded in your thinking. We're to do everything as God has commanded us to do. That's why we take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. That's the day we're to take it on. Thank you for